So Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. We're reading out of the New Living Translation here this morning. It says, "Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, 'I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig tree. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden.' Verse 8, the gardener answered, 'Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down.'" Let's pray. Father, I hope our ears are open this morning. Lord, I pray that we turn on our hearts. Lord, I pray that you speak to us today. Lord, we're listening. And I want to have your message, your words in my heart. And today, through your word, I pray, Lord, that you guide our thoughts. And Lord, if there is something that we must do, Lord, I pray you bring it to our attention. Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless the reading of the word, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are nearing the end of our parable series, which we started way back, I believe, in June. So this week and next week, these are the last 2 weeks of, and maybe I'll take, 3 months worth and just whittle it down to about 35 seconds. We learned that God takes care of you. We learned that we need to trust in God. We've learned that we need to have faith in God. We learned that we need to give our all, everything we have, for heaven. And then we went through some questions. Questions we need to ask. Do you think God is loving or is God harsh? And then we went through a series of weeks where pretty much the same question every week was, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? And there was a few weeks that we learned that we are foolish. And at times we are wicked. Wow, that's encouraging. And then today we're going to get to the point here where this is our last chance. This is your last chance. And next Sunday, we're going to learn that it's too late. There's going to come a time. Because if Christ comes back this week, are you ready? What's in your heart? Have you been wicked? Have you been foolish? Or have you been seeking after God? I've been asking questions all throughout this series, mainly to our kids that are here, but also to you adults during the message. And I've got a new challenge coming. We can start it here today, but as we eventually go into a new series, I want to kind of up the ante a little bit intentionally. And the question is, parents that you're here with your kids, all through these weeks that we've been asking these questions, this is an opportunity for you to ask the questions to your kids. The pastor has been asking the question, and I love it, being able to sit there and hear their responses. But parents, ask your kids these questions throughout the week. Kids, ask mom and dad about this. Husbands, ask wives. Wives, ask husbands. Discuss. So we want a word. Hear opposing ideas. Love on one another. So we want to up the challenge here because, yeah, Sunday mornings we're used to children's church where someone asks your kids questions. Someone trains them, but we are the church. Parents, you're the beginning of that. So take the opportunity to ask questions, discuss with your kids. Kids, challenge your parents to these questions. Because I believe a time is coming where the church is going to look a lot different, and maybe we're already seeing it right now. I think we've seen a glimpse that it seems like with a snap of a finger, the church gets shut down. We're blessed. We're meeting here today. But there are churches across this country. There's churches across this world that cannot meet. They can't be together in one place under a roof for fear of punishment, fear of death. I believe there are churches in other countries that are burned down, that are blown up, that are destroyed. Is that four walls? Church, we are a people. And Satan's going to do everything he can to tear down the church. And I think he's sitting on his throne, whatever that looks like. And he's excited. Oh, yes, this church isn't meeting and that church isn't meeting. And yet I think the church should be saying, yeah, we're not in one building, but we are continuing to dig into the Word, where fathers are teaching sons, mothers are teaching daughters, husbands and wives are coming together in their devotionals, praying together. This is an opportunity for us to rise up as the church. And I think we're seeing that maybe a change is coming. So you are the church. You are the teachers. And this is your warning. We need to wake up. And so as we go through this opportunity we have to share, to ask questions, continue that as you go through the week, as you go home. And I'm up in the challenge. Next week we're going to have a guest speaker who's hasn't had this opportunity before. And I'm excited to hear what the Lord is going to say through him. I should be able to pick out someone in the church here. Everyone's going to turn their eyes down. And say, come up and share what the Lord showed you this week. What did you learn in your devotionals this week? And someone should come up with confidence and say, this is what God showed me. This is what God spoke through me this week. And I shared this with a coworker, and they said, I want to know more about this. Testimonies. Church, it's time to wake up. And it starts with all of us. The word of the Lord doesn't just flow through the pulpit, through this microphone. The word of the Lord goes through you. Okay, I'm preaching. I'm getting off subject here. Time for us to wake up. And I want to challenge you guys to do that, and parents especially. Talk to your kids about these questions. So let's dig into this parable. Any message, any sermon by any decent preacher usually has an introduction, some middle content, and a conclusion, a point, okay? Hopefully that's what I have. Shooting from the hip there, a little opinion that Jesus is a pretty good preacher. And he's not out there telling random stories. You know, as I've looked at parables kind of throughout my life, you read a parable, go, oh, that's kind of interesting. And you pull out some stuff. And, oh, there's another one. And you kind of get this feeling, did Jesus just stay up late one night thinking of a creative story and then he just shared it the next day? Were these all kind of random? And as we've gone through this series, hopefully you've seen that Jesus isn't being random. He's being very intentional with these parables. These parables are usually in a response to a question or something he observed. Or, as we're going to see today, he was teaching, and he tells a parable. So it's important for us to get the whole message. And to do that, you kind of have to backtrack a little bit. To do that, you got to read a little bit before, because we got to get the whole message. For any of you that have been with us throughout this whole, since March sort of thing, you know, and that was Sunday morning service. And then we're like, okay, the audio doesn't work. And so we tried different things, and then we had different cameras and different equipment. And we've gotten to a place where even right now we're streaming live on Facebook. And I think it's working, other than those listening this morning would know we actually had another shutdown. As you guys noticed the first song, we didn't have the lyrics because we were scrambling up there trying to get things to work. And if you've been following along at home, you've noticed we've had a few hiccups over time with our online stuff. And there's messages, where'd the stream go? What happened? All I have is black. Yeah, we know. But in that process, you're like, okay, what did I miss? He was just about to tell a really funny joke, but then it came back on and nobody was laughing. What happened? You know, well, that's the way my jokes usually work. You laugh at that one. You need the whole message. And sometimes we have things that shut things down. That makes sense. No, you don't. You got to backtrack. We got to look at what's before. If you have your Bibles and you're already open up to it, flip to the previous chapter, Luke chapter 12. And not every Bible does this, but starting at verse 22, there's little headings. Every Bible has usually some little summaries. And at verse 22, mine says, Jesus warns about worry. Okay, this is leading up to this parable. This is like, this is the introduction. And Jesus is going to get to a point with a parable, so we need to understand this, and we don't have time to go all the way through it, but Jesus warns about worry. Have you ever worried? Nah. There's nothing to worry about, right? Okay, what are the two new things? We're going to have two hurricanes hit America at the same time. Really? And yeah, the day before Election Day, what's going to happen? We have a chance of getting hit by an asteroid or something like that. Really? Okay, not, when we thought it was bad enough, these things are preaching at verse 22. You go ahead to verse 35. Jesus warns, are your ears open yet? Jesus warns about preparing for his coming. Yeah, Jesus is coming. We need to be prepared. He's warning, are you prepared? Are you ready? Okay, go down to 49. Jesus warns about the coming division. Have you ever seen division? If you haven't, flip on the news. If you haven't, have a conversation with someone and just say, COVID, masks, social distancing, asteroid, whatever it is. We're gonna have meteorite, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's a big rock in the sky hurtling towards us for impending. It's only like 6 feet across, and yet, anyways. I do have filters in here, and you'd be amazed how many things I'm like, okay, just keep moving ahead. Jesus warns about the coming division. Church, Satan is here to divide us. Satan. He wants to divide us. And again, he's rejoicing because some churches can't get together. But that's not good enough. Here we are gathering. He's like, I want division in that church. I want Grace Community Church to split apart. And he wants to divide you from the person to your right and left, you from me from you. Church, here, I have, I am, I may do things that you disagree with. I hope not. That's why we have elder board and leadership to guide and direct, that we seek the Lord. We have an uncle as a pastor who can rightfully correct me if he needs to. We want to seek the Lord. But there may be disagreements among us. If there is, let's beat Satan at his game and let's talk. Let's communicate. Let's love. Let's have a discussion. Satan is trying to bring a division, and Jesus is warning about division. He can't have it. He wants multiplication. Not division. In verse 54, Jesus warns about the listening or reading. Do you find anything common in those four headings? What's the word that keeps on jumping out? Warning. Warning. No. Warning! Wake up! There's sirens and bells and there's red lights. Jesus is trying to wake people up. And I bet people are sitting there like, it's no big deal. They're not listening. So he's like, all right, then I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to try to relate maybe something that you will listen to. And the warning, we've kind of covered the last couple of weeks. It's 2 weeks ago we said, you must produce fruit. Warning, are you producing fruit? And last week we learned with a message with the prodigal son or the two sons, that it was interesting. We always focus on that son that ran away and came back. And yet the father gave everything. The older son had everything, and yet he wanted more. He didn't realize he had everything. And so, warning, you must produce fruit. And also, be aware, you have everything you need. You have everything you need to produce. So produce. Because pretty soon, it's going to be too late. You must produce. You got everything you need to produce, and pretty soon it's going to be too late. I hope you brought your steel-toed boots today, because I'm going to be dancing on some toes. But I love you. Hopefully you love me. Verse 6. It says, then Jesus told the story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden, came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. So we're talking about a fig tree. You are the fig tree. That's you. And you are designed, you are created to produce fruit. But it says it was in his garden. So you're not on a stony path. You're not choked out by. But it says he came again and again. And I'll add again and again and again. He kept coming back, and there was no fruit. And what does it say at the end of verse 6 there? He was disappointed. He was looking for fruit. finding none, he was disappointed. God keeps instructing you, keeps teaching you, keeps training you, but he keeps finding nothing. I'm going to step on your toes. I knew this would be hard to say. You have disappointed God because you have not produced. Our Heavenly Father is disappointed. Wow, Pastor. Wow, I'm feeling so encouraged this morning. Maybe if we move on, it'll get better or not. Verse 7. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years, and there hasn't been a single one. We have the gardener, and I believe that is Jesus. Jesus is our gardener. He's here to help tend us, to be with us. It also says for 3 years, and we had Jesus for 3 years. But actually, when it came to raising fig trees in this time, the fig tree isn't 3 years old. More than likely, the fig tree is actually 6 years old. Because in that time, what they would do is they'd plant a fig tree and allow it to grow for about 3 years, not expecting any fruit. Just let it grow, let it develop, let it learn, let it take in the nutrients, let it take in the water and the moisture, let it grow. And if there was figs, they probably wouldn't be very good. For 3 years, it would be that way. And then it says, I've waited 3 years. So he's been in 3 years of expectation. So this fig tree is probably 6 years old. Because at the fourth year, it should begin to produce fruit. Pastor Arvid asked last week, a number of you, do you remember when you gave your heart 2 years ago? Some 5, 10, some of you 40 years ago, 50 years ago? I ask another tough question. In all that time, what have you done? Have you produced fruit? Because this tree, that's only for 3 years there's been expectations. And it hasn't produced. And God says, give me one fig. Just give me one fig. There's no fig. Then cut it down. This is supposed to be a fruitful fig tree. And he's looking at it and go, I don't even know what this is. Because I don't see figs. I just see wood and some leaves. I don't know what this is. It's not one of mine. It's supposed to be a fig tree. That's what I planted. It's not mine. Just cut it down. Kind of harsh. Is anybody hearing the warning this morning? Great message. I'm not done yet. Verse 8. The gardener answered, whoa, 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 whoa. Sir, little attention. And plenty of fertilizer. It's not in my notes, and it probably shouldn't be. And yet I'm going to go anyways. What's fertilizer? Back then, what's fertilizer? Let me put some poo all around it. That'll make it better. Do you ever feel like you're surrounded with poo? They're laughing at me over there. You ever been surrounded by poo in your life? And we go, just get it off. And God says, no. This is intentional. This is an opportunity for you to grow. I want to give it attention, and I want to give it fertilizer. The gardener says, hold on. Let me do this one more time. Let me give it one more chance. What do we call that? Mercy. Our God is merciful. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, can anyone relate? You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Can anyone relate? Hey God, can anyone relate? All of us used to live this way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Can you relate? By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But, verse 4, God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Mercy. One more chance. Let me give them mercy. You need a little more context. You need a little more backstory. Start in the book of Judges and go through 6, 7, 8 books and get to like the end of 2 Chronicles. Read it all. And you're going to find this thing where God's people followed God, and then they turned from God. And they followed God, and they turned from God. Why didn't God just wipe them off the face of the earth? mercy. At some point, there are no more chances. At some point, we are at the end of the book. We are at the end of the chapter. And there are no more chances. One more chance. The gardener says, one more year. I'll give you a conspiracy theory. Ready for this? I'm pretty sure God is, I'm way off on rabbit trail here. I'm pretty sure that God's pretty intentional with the numbers and stuff that he puts in the Bible. So here you have 6 years. 3 years that the tree was planted, 3 years waiting on it, that's 6 years. Biblical timeline has earth beginning, maybe about 4,000 BC, that's about 6,000 years ago. A year is 1,000 years, that's 6,000 years. We are now in year seven. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, God, Christ is going to return somewhere in this millennium. There you go. That's my free one for you. Somewhere in the 2000s, Jesus is going to return because we need to wake up. But he says, I'll give you special attention and fertilizer. What is that? I believe John 14:26 tells us what the special attention, this thing that we have to help us grow. John 14:26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. That's why we're having a class of Voice of God. God, speak to us through your Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice. So Jesus says, let me send an advocate. Let me send my Holy Spirit so that we can grow. And then verse 9, if we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. Church, you must have fruit in your life. You must have fruit in your life. What is fruit? You could look, should be abundant, it should be overflowing. There should be something within you that you're willing to go to any individual and give your testimony. Show them the gospel. Show them the truth. Show them that Jesus died for their sins. There should be something in your life. There should be an attitude about life that we live in victory. We walk in victory. We have a hope. This is fruit. This is things that we should be showing. We should be walking in all the time. Church, you must have fruit in your life, because if there is not, the tree can be cut down. In the Old Testament, as I said, they would follow God and they didn't follow God. They'd follow God and they turned their back on God. What changed them? What was the thing that they would do that God didn't wipe them off the face of the earth? You see, they would be in their big walled city worshiping other gods, and outside the walls would come an army. Threat would look at that threat, and they would pray. And through a prophet or a priest, they'd usually get this message: repent. You've been wicked, you've gone astray, you've turned your back on God, and you've followed other things. Repent. People of God, repent. Wherever you're headed, turn around 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. Repent. And most of the time they would. They'd turn around and that army would be eradicated. God would do some miraculous thing and the threat would be gone because the people of God would repent. Church, your warning is we need to repent. If we are not producing fruit, that means there's things in our life that are choking out the fruits of the Spirit. And we must repent before it is too late. So it's a tough question for the kids. Maybe it's a tough question for us too. What does it really mean to repent? What does it look like? That's a tough question because it's not a word that we use. How often around the dinner table do you use that word with your kids? Repent! Do they understand what it means? They probably need some help. Do you know what it means? What does it look like? Church, we need to repent. If there is something amiss, if there is something off in our lives, we need to turn around and repent. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. They tried to hide the yucky stuff. But if they confess and turn from them, I mean, that means I'm not going to do this thing I've done all my life. I'm done. I'm going the opposite direction. I'm turning from them. It says they will receive mercy. Heavenly Father, we need mercy. Do you need mercy this morning? Do you need one more chance? You have it. As we are all here drawing breath, we have the opportunity to look at our heart, look at our lives, and see what's wrong. Allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. What does a teacher do? Shows you what you don't know. The Holy Spirit is saying, what you don't know is this thing in your life, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. You're not prospering. You're not feeling joy. It's because there's wickedness in your heart. That's what the teacher is teaching us. What do we do? Lord, have mercy. Father, I confess this is my sin. This is the thing I've done, but I'm going to. This is repentance. Confess and turn. Church, confess and turn. Because as we will learn next week, this may be your last chance. This may be your last opportunity. And if it's your last chance, tell me about your coworker. Tell me about your neighbor. Tell me about a loved one in your life that does not know God. They need to know that they need to confess and turn. Let's pray. Father, as we take a moment, Lord, I pray that you peer into our hearts and speak to us this morning. If there is something wrong in our heart, Lord, I pray for your conviction. I pray you open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see what it is that's holding us back. Holy Spirit, minister to us, teach us everything we need to know. Show us what is wrong in our lives. Our lives, God. Not the lives of our husband or wife, or the church, or a cousin. Lord, what's wrong with me? And Father, as you reveal that to us, I pray we simply say, Lord, have mercy. Father, I know I've said things that have hurt people, not intentionally. I've had attitudes that were wrong, misconceptions. Father, have mercy on me. Father, I can be prideful. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. So, Father, we desire to repent, which means we confess to you. And Lord, we can confess to others, which I hope we do. If we've caused division, if we've caused hurt, if we've caused our brothers and sisters to stumble, Lord, that we can confess to them, seek forgiveness, which we turn. No longer looking back. No longer desiring the old ways, how it used to be. Lord, I pray that we confess and we turn to you. Father, I give you thanks for mercy. I thank you that you're a merciful God. But Lord, today is the day. We're not going to wait for tomorrow or next week or next year because we don't know. Some meteor is going to erase all that. Lord, we have today. We have right now. We repent, we confess, we turn to you. Have your mercy upon us, Lord. And I pray as we've read, Lord, that we prosper. We no longer conceal our sins. We bring them to you. We turn from them, Lord, and we prosper. However that may be. Lord, I pray that there is joy in our life, Lord. As Pastor Arvid shared his message, Lord, his journal, Lord, even in the ending, Lord, you said rejoice. Lord, I pray our hearts prosper with joy. Lord, that we look around and we don't see the doom and gloom, Lord. We see everything that is worthy of praise. Father, speak to us. We're listening. We're turning, following hard after you. Bless us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name.